My dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his biblical teaching through his broadcasts. You will experience truth from God's Word in today's message, Whose Child Is This? God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I say it every time, every week, I am so glad to be back with you. I pray for you all week long, and I wonder how things are going, and I wonder if things are just good, or maybe you stubbed your toe, or maybe there's been some sorrow coming to your life. And I just pray for our people everywhere, and I pray for all the people everywhere, whether they belong to Jesus or not, and I pray they'll come to know Jesus. So God bless you all, and I'm just so glad to be with you. Want to start out by reading some of our letters, and at the close of the service, I'll give the address. And boy, would we like to hear from you. But here's some of the letters we get. The first one is from Kalamazoo, Michigan. And they write, I am so happy to tell you how much we have loved the Heart of a Shepherd. It is going all around in my family now. I have 3 children, 29 grandchildren, 18 great grads, I think. It's so wonderful, meaningful to me after 50 years a Christian to hear you say, and just do the best you can. That's what I'm doing. It's not all I want to do, but Jesus understands and accepts me. Love to all of you and the peace of our Lord. And so that's exactly right. We are not perfect. Perfect, and God knows we're not perfect. And God knows that the flesh is with the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And the Father in heaven understands that. So give it the best. And when you fail, ask forgiveness and get up and get going. And keep going. And here this lady hears they've got the Heart of a Shepherd. Now, the Heart of a Shepherd is the story of my life, how I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And now I'm my 75th year of preaching the wonderful good news of the gospel. And I'm telling you about this wonderful Jesus that I walked with for 87 years. And you can have this same Jesus in your heart and life. And you can have salvation and enjoyment and happiness and peace. Now, I don't say you're going to be the richest man in town and the best looking, but you'll be the happiest, just as happy in the Lord. Here's Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Your word about looking back and rehashing the past would just drive you crazy. That's just what Satan wants. That really hit home. My head has been spinning lately because I'm focusing on all my mistakes, poor decisions and sins. Enough of that. I'm going to try in every thought, make every thought captive, give it to Christ Jesus. And if it's not useful, I'll turn it off immediately and focus on Jesus. That happened to help me so much, exactly what I needed. God sure uses you. I'm praying for you and the staff. Well, we knew all about that because, you know, God tells us, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's in Hebrews 8, verse 12. And we can put the past and just keep your eyes looking forward. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll never win a race looking backwards, see? Let the last be gone. That's under the blood of Christ. It's all washed away. You'll never face it. You'll never see it. Isn't that the wonderful, glorious gospel? Here's one that says Benson, Iowa. A friend at the nursing home wants to watch it also. Watch this Heart of a Shepherd. She says, I'm taking it there to share on the weekend. And so I hope that we'll do that. Share this message. It's a one-hour film. And maybe you can take it to people or just give it to people. And if you need some more, you just write to us. And if you don't have any money, you just write and we'll send you some so you can give it to people and show it to people. Because it's got a wonderful, wonderful message. And here's one more I want to share with you today. And I really like this one. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. This is a lady. And she writes in and says, on July 11th, I observed my 103rd birthday. 103rd birthday. And would like to share it with you. And then in parents, she's got, now don't be jealous, as that is not biblical. She's preaching to me, see? And I am jealous of her. And so now she calls me to sin, and it's all her fault, see? But here she's 103. She says, since becoming, the story isn't done yet. Listen to her. Since becoming a widow 17 years ago, I've been able to live alone in my home, lives alone in her home, and continue volunteering at the local hospital. I thank you for all the help and solace you have given me with love and admiration. And this reminded me of this the psalm. And the God says in Psalm 92, verse 14, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, I know we got a ton of people and you're in bed and I know that some of you are in wheelchairs and you can't get around. There's no possible way you could live alone. There's no possible way you could drive a car and go to the hospital. But some of you can in old age. And some of you, if you're retired and you're 65 and you're twiddling your thumbs and maybe hitting a golf ball or something, then you hit it and then you look for it. And when you look an hour and you find it, then you hit it again. Well, instead of that, go down to the homes and help in some of the nursing homes and some of the retirement homes and serve Jesus, lives for Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. There's no retirement in the Bible for God's people. Well, how come we got retirement then? Well, that politicians gave us retirement. That ought to tell you something. So much for the letters. Now, I hope that you write at the close of the service, the end of the sermon, and you'll probably think, oh, that sermon will never end. It'll end. I never preach a long time. Just seems like a long time. And then at the close, you write to us. We'd love to hear from you. But what am I going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about abortion. Abortion. And before I say another word, let me say this. If you had an abortion, do not change this channel. You stay with us because I've got wonderful, glorious news for you. So please stay with us. And I'll close my sermon with forgiveness and hope and joy and seeing that baby again. So just don't turn it off. And one more thing you could do. If you have a friend who's had an abortion, and maybe she's having a hard time of it, and she's regretting it. A lot of people do. And you tell her, tune us in. Because tell her, I've got some good news. And the good news, where did I get it? It came from the very heart of God. God's heart to you. So, and then call the young people. Call anybody you can think of. Listen to what he has to say about the abortion. One of the saddest things on the face of the earth is the scourge of abortion. It's a terrible thing happening, not in just the United States, but all over the world. In the United States, there's an organization called Guttmacher Institute. They estimate that in the United States, since the Supreme Court 45 years ago said they legalized it, they estimate there has been 60 million babies put to death. And the same organization, the Guttmacher Institute, says they figure that worldwide, because it's just not an American thing, it's all over the world. And the reason it's all over the world is because it comes from the devil, and he's all over the world. And their organization says they estimate there might be 1.72 billion, not million, billion babies have been aborted. And so it's a terrible thing. We have to look at it. Christians have to look at it. The big question about abortion is it harmless destruction of tissue, or is it downright murder? In other words, if life doesn't begin until birth, then you're home free. You don't need to worry about it because it's just tissue, nothing more. But if life begins at conception, then you're committing outright, downright murder. So the big question is, when does life begin? At conception or at birth? So let's see what man has to say. We always like to hear what man has to say. This is men talking, and they talked through the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and they rendered an absolutely unbelievable decision. On January 22nd, 1973, the highest court in our land, by a vote of 7-2, ruled that all unborn children are non-persons under the law. This meant that human life in the developing child does not begin until birth. Thus, the unborn child, since it's not a person, cannot have the protection of the Fifth Amendment. That is, that citizens cannot be deprived of life without due process of law. That doesn't apply to them if you're not a person until birth. It also deprives them of the 14th Amendment, guaranteeing equal protection under the law. Therefore, the highest court in Christian America cries out, you can stamp out life of that living child within the womb and be legal and lawful is perfectly legitimate. Can you believe it? The highest court maybe in the whole world, filled with worldly knowledge, but when they come to biblical knowledge and the voice of God, they're as dumb as a dodo bird, and they're a million off base. And they're causing great sin in America and around the world. So man says that the child in the womb is only tissue until it is born and sees the light of day. Well, since God is the source of all life, well, let's ask where does life begin? I would think that he would know because he gave life, he'd know when it began, wouldn't he? So it's recorded in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. So there you have it. No question about it. God sends life through the union of a man and a woman. Life begins the very moment of conception. Then God gives an illustration. He tells us about King David. And so here's David, and he is in the Psalm 51. In this chapter, it was written by King David after the awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And he is recording his repentance and his sorrow for his sin. And David's confession, he referred to the original sin that was within him. He says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That's in Psalm 51, verse 5. God is telling us not from his conception. David is telling us that from his conception, he had a sin nature. In other words, at the time of his conception, he carried the image of God. And at the time of his conception, he carried the sin of Adam. David was a person without any exception, without any question about it. And so it follows, human beings are created in the image of God. And when we think about the image of God, we're saying in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, human beings bear the image of God, which is the very essence of humanness. David said he was a person the moment he was conceived. As a person, he had a soul and a spirit. As a person, he was under the sin of Adam. David didn't wait until the first trimester before he became a person and a sinner. He was that from the day he was conceived. In the International Version of the Bible, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, for you created my inmost being. This is David, and he's talking. You have created my being, inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I was fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. David says, you knit me together in my mother's womb, not you knit a body and let me become a person later. I was a person the moment I was conceived. Now we have some very modern statements. This is from David. Now we have a woman, Dr. Marjorie A. England, and she has written a book, Life Before Birth, and the second edition of it. It's a comprehensive textbook on the development of the embryo for embryologists and medical students, and it plainly teaches that life begins at conception. Listen, she explains. At the moment the nuclei of the father's sperm and the mother's egg unite, a new and unrepeatable human being comes into the world, complete with his own unique set of DNA. The new little person's sex is also determined from the beginning at conception. Then she continues, this fertilized egg is the newly formed human being, and cell division is proof of life, because without life, the embryo would not be dividing and changing. That's its conception. And if the embryo or fetus stops growing and changing, it means it would be dead. It's life. So man tells us life begins at birth. God tells us life begins at conception. And let me add this too. It is a scientific fact. And anything that's a good scientific fact always agrees with the Bible. And you say, well, what about evolution? Well, evolution is not a scientific fact, my friend. Evolution is a theory. It's a lie. It's a hoax. It's not scientific. And we have all kinds of scientists who say, no, it is not science at all. And so we have life begins at birth. And so we have to ask the question, well, then why is life so sacred? And so why do we make such a big ado of this thing called life? We hunt the ducks and the deer and the wild geese, and which aren't fit for human consumption in my book. We hunt for them and we shoot them, and we call it a sport. So why is human life any different than animal life? We were made by God, but so are the animals made by God. And yet there is a difference, a profound difference. Listen to the creation of man. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, Genesis 1:26. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:27. And then it goes on. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. The New International Version has that to read. And man became a living being. So there you find the origination of life. It came from the mouth of God Almighty. God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into that form. And that form took life and God from God, and because he breathed into it, and man became a living soul or a living being. The word soul or being in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word nephesh. And that word was used by the Hebrews to speak of the entire person, body, soul, and spirit. So that when God breathed into man, God made not just something that would breathe, but God gave him an eternal spirit and an eternal soul that will never die, ever, ever die. That spirit and soul is going to go on forever and ever in heaven or in hell. And I'm going to tell you where your soul is going. It's going right what you decide. You decide for Jesus Christ, and you ask him into your heart for salvation and cleansing, and you go to heaven, and you reject Jesus Christ, and you go to hell. Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen, God is making, how could you write it any plainer? And so you have to decide, I want Jesus, and I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I'm going to talk about that just in a minute. And you personally ask him to come into your life. Promise to turn from your sins the best you can and thank him for saving your soul. So then we know that life begins at conception, and it comes from God. But so then we have to say, well, who controls life? Who has the right to take life? And his here, we look at these little, when God created he brought the little children. God filled the world with children. And that's a delightful thing, this beautiful children. Think of them for a minute. And don't call them kids. Kids are baby goats. Children are children of God. And all the children in the whole world are children of God. They belong to God. That's what he tells us in Luke 18. Verses 15 and 16, he says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. Now, he didn't baptize them. John tells us Jesus never baptized anybody. Didn't baptize them. He touched them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto them and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not. Listen, for of such is the kingdom of God. all of the babies and all of the infants, all those little children belong to God and they're part of his kingdom. God loves the infants and the little children. He died for them. They're part of his kingdom. Now let me pose a question to you pro-life, pro-choice people. Who has the right to take that life? The one who gave it or the one who received it? And the answer to that question is simple. God gave it, God sustains it, and God alone has the right to take it back, with one exception, and that is God has ordained government. God has ordained the home, God has ordained the church, and God has ordained government. We need to have government. It's in the book in Romans chapter 13. And that government is authorized by God to take life in case of in time of war or in capital punishment. And those who take a life should pay for a life, and the government should carry it out, not we as individuals, but the government. But so other than that, God alone has the right to take life. So look in here. This baby in the womb, that baby belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the doctor. It doesn't belong to the father. It doesn't belong to the mother. It belongs to God. That's God's creation, and that's God's child. And that little baby in your womb is on loan. It isn't your child. It's God's child. That's what the Bible teaches. God is saying to that mother, like Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, take this child away and nurse it for me, Exodus 2, verse 9. And so that child belongs to God. That child is absolutely no, you have no right to kill that baby. Whose child is this? It's God's hand, and don't you touch it. And so let's look at this. What can we do about abortion? How can we stand against it? And we can do it, we can promote pro-life. And we can pray for these people, and we can talk to people. And some people say, well, but if you're not pro-life, then you have to, you're pro-choice. And if you're pro-choice, you're going to be guilty for every one of those babies. And so some people say, well, I'm neither. I am independent. I don't want to be either one. And so they say, I don't even vote, so I'm scot-free. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me, period. It's white or it's black, it's red or it's black or it's white, it's heaven or it's hell, it's in or it's out, no middle ground. So I want to urge you, and we have something we have that you could pass out. Now, if you're on our mailing list, then don't worry about writing to us because you'll get it right away. But we'll want you to write, and it talks about how this little baby and how at that very birth, that baby has a heart, that baby has DNA and is sex determined. The first month it has a heartbeat and so on. But what I want to close is with a glorious message. And this message simply is two things to remember. The first thing we need to remember that every last one of us are poor, lost sinners. No matter we've had abortion or what we've had, God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. That's the first thing to remember. And the second thing to remember is that God loves you. Even though you're sinned, you have sinned. He hates the sin. And he won't let any sin into heaven. But he loves you. And so you have to come to him. And Jesus says, as many as come to him, he says, I'll wash away all of your sins. And you say, how can I come to Jesus? And here's what you have to do. You pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take them all away, wash them all away in the blood of the Lamb. And though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. And then you tell Jesus you'll forsake your sin the best you can. You'll never be perfect, but you try it. Then you thank Jesus, see. And if you make that prayer, I'm going to tell you what'll happen. God will forgive your sins. You will be born again. You will have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will go to heaven. And you know what you'll find in heaven? You'll find your baby. Those little children are all with God in heaven. And you'll never get there unless you have Jesus. And Jesus is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You make that prayer, and you'll see that child again. I love to preach that. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Nobody else has it. God has it. It's a God thing. So you make that prayer, and then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you shortwave people, get your pencil. I'm going to give it in a minute. You can also get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. Get this film and get on the mailing list and get this pamphlet and help us in this great work of the blessed little children. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people that have broken hearts and they're coming to you and they're finding peace, wonderful peace. And help, Lord God, and help them if they maybe have other sins and they're just to come to you and you'll wash them all away and they'll be your child forever. And Lord, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so today we pray for those in Sri Lanka and how they suffer in so many ways. Well, loss of home, loss of life, loss of church. But you know, help them to know that we love them and we're praying for them and we're better Christians because of them, oh God. And all those who are on beds of sickness and those that are lonely and the young people trying to decide what to do in life and the little children who need Jesus. Oh, God, have your way in every heart and every life. And we'll be careful to give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. So you write to us now, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll write to you if you have any questions. And we'll pray for you and you pray for us. And, we just love to hear from you because we love you. God loves you and the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And God knows I love you. And I'd do anything if I could help you to come to Jesus. Because if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to be in hell. That's all there is to it. There's no other place to go, Jesus or hell. And he wants you to come. So just make that prayer like we said. Just come into my heart, Jesus. Take away my sin. Thank you, Jesus. I'll live you. I'll give you my whole life. You make that prayer and I'll see you over there in that wonderful land of heaven. God bless you, dear friends. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.